Fighting for America.
This country is long overdue for a discussion about the tragic intersection of an over-militarized law enforcement establishment with people of color.
Fighting for Idaho.
It is outrageous that some would use partisan political theatrics to rip away at the very fabric of our state's constitution.
Fighting for you.
I recently got married and I've turned my wife, who's a rabid Boise State fan, into a Paul Feinbaum fan.
Well, I want to congratulate you, Kevin. I mean, you were Birmingham's most eligible bachelor 15 years ago, and I'm surprised it took this long in Idaho.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Thank you all for joining us. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It was interesting looking at the front page of the Statesman today. They're talking about the new jobs program that might be defunded or not renewed, which means a bleaker economic outlook. But, hey, you talked to Tom Sullivan there from Fox News, and everything is sunshine, unicorn, and rainbows, except if you have the student loan debt, except if you have, you know, a second or third mortgage on your house. And I wanted to do something a little unusual today. And by the way, if you are inclined at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, to sit back and to talk a little bit about the Ferguson situation and the shots being fired and the Reverend Al Sharpton.
I'm not no drive-by activist. We'll be here until justice is achieved.
There we have it. And if you heard our exclusive interview with Jeff Manasso, who describes the thugs, the malcontents that are coming in when it's dark to throw Molotov cocktails. Look, this is America. This isn't some third world country. This is Missouri. That things are that bad that people resort to violence? Or is there an opportunity here? And as I was explaining this to somebody the other day, you know, we live in Idaho. What do we talk about in Idaho? I'll give you an example. Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, came in, and he starts talking about Optimus football and Brian Harsin and the Blue and how cool it is that the Broncos embrace the Optimus football program. Okay, we'll talk about the big controversy between ACHD and the bike lanes and the city, and Mayor Beter's mad because he wants to ride his bike with his family and they remove the bike lanes. Or, you know, the capital city is in flux because ACHD wants to continue on with the parking meters that sense your car. Beep, 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 beep. I mean, how blessed are we that we don't have to deal with this?
I am beating the MC.
Hey, apparently Sweet William's gone crazy here. I meant to say this.
We're going to have an arms up rally and march in D.C. to demand federal legislation around policing. We're going to the United States Capitol. We ain't got no great speech. We just going to throw up our arms.
Ah! Oh!
You know, after a while, you just have to do the Tea Party Bob. Wah, wah. And there's a reason why people have tuned out, because you have a lot of people in a lot of people in local and national radio, they just play the negative. Well, what I was taught, and I hope why this show is different, by a young man who made a big impression on me, is it's very easy to talk about what you're against, but what are you for? And we're for, you know, hope, growth, and opportunity. And I think my first question to you is this what a post-racial America looks like? Is this what America is supposed to look like, that people are so mad, so angry, so fired up that you have the Black Panthers coming in and taking over a press conference? By the way, I go back with that organization many, many years. They've threatened my life on the air. They've threatened to take me out. And I have the public records to prove it. All for being who I am. And yet they get a pass by Eric Holder. They get a pass by the administration, stirring it up. You have a police officer who was confronted with a big guy coming at him. Six shots, four in the arm, two in the head. And before we had the people stirring it up, saying that he was shot, as if this happens in America today. Call me naive that police officers just target people because of their race. You'd have to be crazy to do that. I had a friend say, Kevin, why are people so mad in Ferguson, Missouri? Because you look at the video, the guy was a criminal. And I said, not everybody lives in Idaho. Not everybody lives in the West. Not everybody has the safe and sanctuary that we have here, where we can go to a park and not worry about being accosted, where we leave our keys in the car. And then we're surprised when someone breaks into our car, when we leave our doors open. That doesn't happen in Missouri. It doesn't happen anywhere in America except here. And we're blessed, and we're, you know, we have a different outlook. But there are people that want to stick it to America. They want to stick it to the administration. They want to stick it to people. You know, you have one congressman saying there's a war on whites perpetrated by the Democratic Party. And then you have other folks saying that this police officer should be tried for murder. Well, if we could take race out of it for a minute at 580-5436, and if somebody was coming at you, whether you're a woman, whether you're physically bigger or smaller, and you tell them to stop, and you fear for your life, does that give you the go-ahead to shoot them? And quite frankly, if a police officer tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. May not agree with it, but I'm going to do it. What about you? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And we go to I can't even describe her. Linda from Emmett here at 580-KIDO.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. You're without description, my lovely.
I know. It's terrible. I just, you know, this mess in Ferguson makes me think that they are getting a whole lot of outside help. And I wonder how much money is being spent on the outside forces, the people that would do nothing but to stir up, you know, more race riots in this country than we had in 67 when Martin Luther King was killed. I was in Buffalo, New York at the time, and they were breaking storefronts. They were destroying their own businesses. What kind of sense does that make? It makes none to me. Absolutely none. And if the governor of Missouri can pull out the, you know, National Guard for that, what in the sand hill is wrong with Governor Perry doing the same thing for Texas? You know, this world is beginning to make no sense to me whatsoever.
Well, that's why we're here, to help you out every day there, sweetie.
I know. I look forward to hearing you in the morning.
Well, thank you, Linda. You take care.
You'd say hi to Mrs. Miller for me.
I will. It'll be our little secret.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So there you have the issue involving Ferguson. And as I said, having been on the ground at the Duke lacrosse case, of seeing Reed Seligman, Colin Finnerty, and David Evans' lives destroyed. By the way, you know, they settled with Duke. They settled with the state of North Carolina, but they'll never get their lives back. There was no apology from Mr. Sharpton. There was no apology from these folks that had those fake charges, were there? Well, they were just white guys, rich white guys. I remember Terry Moran saying, don't feel sorry for them. They have a lot of money to defend themselves. Feel sorry for the people that get accused unjustly of a crime, and they don't have the money for the high-priced defense attorneys. He's right about that. But this violence in Ferguson, again, at 580-5436, is this what a post-racial America looks like? I mean, really, is this what we have to look forward to for the next 20 or 30 years? People say that the scab was opened by O.J. Simpson when people cheered that he was, in fact, acquitted. I don't know. I would like to think that the country is better than that. I would like to think that we can all come together to unite. And if you're saying, well, Kevin, that's possible because it's the us's versus the them's, those of you that have kids, those of you that have grandkids or any other type of kids, when you see them interacting, when you see them playing optimist football? I mean, is it the us's or the them's? Aren't prejudices learned as opposed to ingrained? Something to think about. Something to think about indeed. And people can ridicule and say something about this state, but again, you talk about racially accepting. There isn't a state better than the Gem State when it comes to that. There isn't a state more welcoming than the Gem State. And perhaps we can be an example to a lot of folks. And I think that the town of Ferguson, not only the town, but the country itself, but certainly those folks need our prayers now more than ever. And it's very difficult sometimes when people come at you and scream and yell and hurl things, but look at what Jesus did. You know, people did horrible things to him. And whether it's biblical, whether it's songs, you know, he was there for us. And if people hurl insults at you for him, you know that he's with you. And I think that's what the country needs. I don't know if the president himself has the gravitas to do that, but certainly we do, don't we? Pat from Middleton, good morning. You're at 580 KIDO. What's up, Playboy?
Good morning. How you doing? I'm just working hard, getting ready to go to the ball game in a couple weeks.
There you have it.
Week and a half. What?
I said, there you have it. You're going to Atlanta.
I am.
Watch out. They're a little high speed down there, buddy. Look, hold on. I don't want to hear that we've lost you to some Southern Belle and you never return.
I doubt that could happen. It's too humid down there.
Well, okay. But, while you're there, let's coordinate because you could be our correspondent.
Okay, sounds good. I can do that for you. Anyway, about this Ferguson issue, I found it when they released the video. I kept hearing this comment on Fox News and other, radio stations and stuff like that. I mean, the broadcast news on their news hours talking about, but did the cop know that he was a suspect in that robbery, or was he, did the cop know that Michael Brown was a suspect in the robbery? And I kept saying, it doesn't matter. Michael Brown knew he was a suspect in the robbery. So any cop he faced, he was going to fight. He was going to run. He was going to fight. And so it doesn't matter what the cop knew. It mattered what Michael knew. Michael knew he was in the wrong, and he was going to do whatever it took to get away from that, because he's a criminal. So his actions were exactly what you would expect from a criminal, and that's the run. And the cop was just reacting to, okay, this guy is scary. He's bigger than me. He's running. Why? He's in the middle of a road. So no one, Greta Van Susteren, really, I think the media stirs up a lot of this crap because of their comments and their questioning. Well, did the cop really know? Or is he just pulling them over for other reasons? Like as if there was some ulterior motive for the cop to be doing this. This guy was acting suspiciously in the middle of the street. I don't know all the stories. It doesn't really matter. Michael knew he was in the wrong. He knew, when you were a kid and you did something wrong, you're going, ooh, I hope I don't get caught. You hide from mom and dad. They may not even know you did something wrong, but you did. And that's
here's the deal. I mean, if you get shot four times in the arm, do you still keep charging the cops?
No, you don't. But he didn't want to go to jail. He didn't, he's 18 now. He's an adult. He can't be treated like a juvenile anymore. His records won't be expunged. Now it's a permanent thing. So there's a whole, when you're guilty of stuff, you do stupid stuff. I mean, that's just, I know when I got in trouble with, when I did something wrong at home.
Never did anything wrong, Pat.
I know. I was a saint.
Yes.
Let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I was the middle child. I never stirred the pot in my family.
Exactly. But back to this point, do you think that could happen here?
I think it could. I think it could. If you're charging a cop, if you've ever been on the other end of a situation where someone, what they say, most people who practice fighting, when it actually comes down to having to implement their fighting style, it just becomes street fighting. They just flail about because it's fear, it's adrenaline, you're scared. You don't have control of your faculties unless you're a professionally trained person. You do this for a living. our fight and flight instincts really change our perspective and how we see and think about things. And most people are just casting that aside as if we're rational thinkers, you know. It's like the Monday morning quarterback. Well, why'd he throw that pass? Well, at the moment, it looked like the right thing to do. And if he'd caught it, he'd been a hero, you know. It's at that moment that things change, you know, good or bad. You make a decision in the moment. You can always analyze the heck out of it later.
All right, Playboy, got to run.
Hey, love you, buddy. Yeah, take good care. And I'd like to come to that flapjack thing, but, you know, I got to work. And
well, you
got to keep this, you know, salt body looking good, you know.
Let me know when you're coming in. We'd love to have you.
I'll let you know.
All right, thank you.
You bet. Bye.
Bye-bye. Pat from Middleton. We go to Diane in Boise at 580 KIDO with Kevin Miller. Hello, Diane.
Hey, Kevin. How's it going?
Pretty good. Welcome.
Thank you. You know, I just kind of wonder if how much it has to do with the color of the people in the cars are different than the color of the people on the street. And just the fact that, you know, they're being policed by people that they look in the mirror and they don't see any sameness. And to have a preponderance of people looking towards you for criminal activity that maybe don't live in your community and certainly don't look like you, it might be a little irritating. It might irritate me a little bit.
You're going to have to expand on that one.
Well, a lot of the police officers are white. A preponderance of them are white in a neighborhood that is predominantly African-American. And so I think that, you know, there's a disparity there of them saying, okay, they don't live here, they don't look like me, you know, I don't know his grandmother, so I'm not going to feel as comfortable dealing with that person.
Sure, but I mean, it's been that way for years, and at one time the community was all white, and then, you know, you have white flight or what have you. But I mean, I think that you take a look. Well, you take a look at the video. I don't know if you've seen the video where the with the store owner there. What goes on in your mind after seeing that?
Well, obviously, this is a really big guy who pushes his weight around, and felt that he could do it maybe against a police officer. We don't know how big this guy is, you know, this white officer. We don't really have a good idea of how he, you know, kind of matches up to this deceased young man. So it's hard to say, but it certainly does look like, if it is the young man, that, you know, he felt that he could get away with things just because of his largesse.
Diane, thank you for the call.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's get you to work safe.
Don't shoot. We don't want to just be told to shut up and suffer in silence.
Making sense of a senseless world. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller with you, talking a little bit more about the first situation, then coming up what happens when we have secrets on the Facebook. We'll tell you about just a goofy story that hopefully that'll never happen to us here locally. Quickly to Donnie in Meridian at 580 KIDO. Hello, Donnie.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, welcome.
You there? Struggling to hear you.
Yeah, yes, I'm here, Donnie. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hey, my comment would be, you know, the guy over in Ferguson, Michael Brown, guy sold a $50 bag of, or box of cigars. I really don't see where he deserves to lose his life over that. You know, you've got people calling in, talking about that he's a big guy, he's bigger than the officer, he's this, he's that. We're talking about a $50 box of cigars here. Is that really worth somebody's life?
Well, I would think that, again, we don't know what we don't know, but if it's true that he was charging the cop, what was the cop to do?
I would say stun. I would say mace. I would say non-lethal. We've had people being charged by officers for hundreds of years. They weren't pulling weapons out and shooting people. I mean, we were all, you know, we all have kids, those of us that do have kids. How many kids make stupid mistakes? How many kids steal something and reach over the counter? Doesn't matter their size. Does it deserve to be shot dead in the middle of the road? That's where I find issue with that. And obviously so. I mean, you've got an entire community outraged over what's going on. Why? Their kids are being killed in the street. Now, justifiably, I mean, an officer, anybody has the right to protect themselves. However, a $50 box of cigars? Come on.
Are there kids really being killed in the streets?
Are there kids really being killed in the streets?
In the streets of Ferguson.
Well, yeah, there was another child shot two nights after the original incident.
And was the child out with the protesters and all that? Do we know that?
Yes, he was on his way back from the protest. Now, you know, there's tons of different media reports. You know, who do you believe? Do you believe the one that's reporting that it's the officer's fault? The one that's reporting it's the protester's fault? You know, that's all hearsay.
Let me hit you with this, though, with respect, let me just throw this in because I'd love to get your thoughts on it at 580KIDO. Donnie, is I would say that the kids in Chicago are being murdered in the streets. I don't know if the people in Ferguson are being murdered in the streets, but if they are, I would hope that there'd be an equal amount of protests against the gangbangers in Chicago.
Well, you know, Chicago's a whole separate issue. Chicago, you've got gun laws that are an issue there. I mean, it's very apparent. You take the weapons away, the crimes go through the roof. I mean, it's very obvious in Chicago what has happened there. You've taken the guns away from normal citizens, and the criminals are all armed, and therefore you have spiking crime rate. It has a higher crime rate than Honduras and South America. You know, I mean, it's very obvious what's going on in Chicago. That's a completely different situation than what's happening in Ferguson.
But why aren't people protesting in the streets about the violence in Chicago?
You know, that's a good question. I would say people are unplugged from society. I would say that people are too busy working their daily lives to pay attention to what's going on around them, would be my best assessment of that.
Well, Donnie, we appreciate it. Thank you for calling, sir.
Hey, thank you.
All right, 580-5436. Pat, good morning. You're on with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Hello, Pat.
Good morning. If you believe the newscast, the cop who shot Brown didn't know that he had robbed the store. Number two, it kind of looks like the kid was looking for trouble that day because he and his buddy were walking down the middle of the street. And I think that's why the cops stopped him, is because they were walking in the middle of the street. And then he attacked the cop because the cop ended up with facial injuries. So it looks like that he was looking for trouble to start with. And as far as Chicago goes,
what do you say to Donnie, who said, Pat, that the cop shouldn't have shot him, should have maced him?
How easy is it to get hold of the mace, and the kid was after the gun? According to everything I've heard, is that he was after the gun. And as far as Chicago goes, Chicago is protected because Rahm Emanuel is a Democrat and Obama's buddy. So nobody says anything about that.
Good point,
and,
Pat.
You know, Chicago's worse than Baghdad right now.
Well,
and you'd think that people would be up in arms about it, but I think that a lot of it is mostly black-on-black crime, and people are just not paying any attention to it. It's hard to tell, and it bothers me a great deal that every time there's something like this going on, if that kid was white, you wouldn't hear a word about it. And Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, the agitators in general, are always right there.
Well, yeah, they're opportunists. Pat, thank you for the call. Quickly to Todd at 580KIDO. Hello, Todd.
Hello, yeah. I was listening to the guy who said that he was killed over some cigars. He really wasn't. He was just killed because he challenged the police, you know. He shot him in the arm, so obviously that means that he tried to knock him back. a mace or a shot in the arm. I mean, he didn't try to kill him in the beginning, but I think the guy left him no choice. He feared for his life. He didn't. I don't think it was over cigars at all. I don't think it was. If the guy never stole the cigars, he probably would have got shot the same way.
Well, here's the deal. You're shot four times in the arm. If that isn't enough to convince you to quit charging the police, I don't know what would be.
Exactly. Yeah, they had a kid here not long ago in Boise that had a bayonet, and they went after an officer, and he got shot. I think it happens that if you challenge an officer, you got to expect to get something like that in return. I mean, it's hard to knock somebody out with mace. I mean, if you hit, you got to be pretty close to the guy with mace. I mean, if you're going to let that guy that close to you, obviously he's going to overtake you before you're going to get your mace, going to get him stopped with mace.
Todd, thank you for the call.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, more coming up next at 580KIDO.
Caldwell forced five people out of their home and sent one of them to the hospital.
Rick Perry is accused of abusing his power.
We don't settle political differences with indictments.
Michael Brown was shot six times.
Fire investigators want your help finding who started a brush fire.
Just another manic Monday.
Food for your brain. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
We are talking to you about the Ferguson, Missouri shooting and the fallout there. Could it happen here? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We go to Boise and Franco. Franco, good morning.
Hi, Kevin. How you doing?
Good. Welcome.
Thank you. Hey, I just wanted to bring up 2 points. The first one is, if that was your kid, anybody out here in America, I think you would hope and pray that somebody use a taser first before they went to lethal, you know, means. You know, it doesn't matter to me what the color of a person is. I know that's what the issue is, what they're saying, but, you know, the fact is you wouldn't want your kid being shot. The second point I want to make is that the world around us, that they seem to be, I don't know, it's like they take advantage of opportunities and keep people separated. And I grew up in a world, because I'm of Latin descent, I'm American of Mexican descent, where I had, you know, grown up with some prejudice from my white buddies, and grown up from prejudice even from Latinos, because I didn't speak Spanish. They called me coconut.
Coconut?
Yeah, well, yeah. I was white on the inside, brown on the outside.
Oh.
But when I grew up, you know, even though those events happened in my life, I grew up with one of my heroes, which is Martin Luther King, that I made a decision at a very young age that I would judge people by the character and not by the color of their skin. And I think, you know, when we have situations like this that are, you know, kind of out of control, that the solution is to continue to separate, but to figure out how to bring together. And so the Al Sharptons of the world, the Jesse Jacksons of the world, in my opinion, they seem to take advantage of these types of situations, in my opinion, instead of coming up with solutions and say, hey, how can we come together? You know, because regardless of the color of our skins, we're all American. And where there's injustice, we have courts and laws that should prevail. But that's just what I wanted to bring up.
Well, you're always welcome here, Franco. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right. We appreciate it. And really, that's what it comes down to. And I agree with Franco when he's talking about Dr. King, you know, those immortal words. But do you think that the folks throwing the Molotov cocktails are really judging people by their character? And I think, unfortunately, Dr. King's movement has been replaced with people looking to get something, looking to get payback, looking to, you know, whatever, you know. And it's interesting to sit here at 580-5436 and really take a look at our own personal prejudices and figure out where to go. And yes, if you have a kid, you hope that the police use a taser. But on the other hand, you hope that your kid isn't stealing cigars, pushing over the little guy at the convenience store, not listening to the police. And instead of obeying the police, he charges the police. Now, with due respect, because we don't know the facts of this case, at 580-5436, who in their right mind charges the police when the police pull out their weapon? We're not superheroes, we're mortal, right? Let's get you to work safely and on time at 580-KID.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580-KIDO, let's go to Lee in Nampa at 580-KIDO. Hello, Lee.
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. It's been a while since I've been on your call here. But hey, with regards to that, I would say I don't really know all of the details regarding the Missouri shooting. However, what I will say, just based on my personal knowledge and experience in dealing with the law enforcement, one who knows their rights has a right to resist and challenge that authority. Now, one of the problems that's happening, I think, is the fact that this militarization of the police and their training. I mean, there was a they have this they cause the post-traumatic syndrome versus trying to prevent it. So that was one of something that was documented and set up on their walls in their training facility here. So I think there's issues with regards to the quality of the officers that are being hired these days. And again, I'll stress the fact that this militarization of the police all across the nation. You know, there's no reason for them to act that way. And well, in my personal situation, there was a Code 3 called in. And that was totally uncalled for.
Aren't you suing?
Yes, I am. 19 officers, 4 different law enforcement agencies.
What's the status of your lawsuit?
Well, it's moving forward. It's just, you know, they're stalling for time. I won in the lower courts, and I don't know. That it just seems to be the process of the so-called justice system, which is really injustice, because in the courts, there is no law. And I watch this on a regular basis. As a matter of fact, I'll be in court this morning to assist some friends that are dealing with the local police here. It's just getting out of hand, just nationwide.
Well, what's your take on Ferguson from what you've known and based on your experience? Are you can you be objective there, or what do you think?
Well, you know, I think I could. There's, you know, unless it's a life and death situation, that's the only time that officer should even withdraw his gun or do anything. You know, they've moved away from trying to speak to people, and, you know, with the government putting things out with regards to anyone who believes in God, believes in the Constitution, you know, believes in liberty, you know, we're considered the terrorists, when in fact, you know, they are the terrorists. You know, the people are the government. And, you know, there's just so much fraud and corruption that's going on. I think that that needs to be addressed in a major way.
Well, Lee, thank you. Don't be a stranger.
Okay, will do. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate what you do.
Thank you, sir. Quickly to Pro-Life at 580-KIDO.
Yeah, I'll be quick. I like Lee, and I think what he's saying is true. The militarization of the police is wrong. Now, as to the Ferguson deal, there's a...
You're a man of God.
Yeah.
Well, what's the issue here?
Well, the issue is that the people are not following God. I'm saying that the people of Ferguson have no religious conviction, obviously, or there would be a different community. Now, there may be some black community somewhere where people are not like that. And, well, the white communities, you can't. It's the irreligious nature of our of everybody that's causing all of this, and you'd think that the media would not make this into such a big deal. It is not that big of a deal.
Right.
They're making it worse. You'd think the media would just say, "Hey, we're just bringing more and more rioting here. Let's just get out of here and close up and go do some investigative journalism on something that really means something." But they don't do that.
No, if it leads, it bleeds.
Yeah. So, hey, I don't know what happened, and I'm just going to wait for, hopefully, true justice, but sometimes you don't get that. We see that in Canyon County. You don't get justice, and the Sarah Pierce case was terrible, and nobody's talking about it.
I see.
So Google Sarah Pierce, Canyon County, and you'll really see something that'll make you mad.
Well, thanks. That's what we want to do, wake up to mad.
Right. Hey, God bless you.
God bless you, Pro-Life. Thanks.
All right,
we continue on. Let's get you to traffic. And it's 8:58. Kevin Miller in the morning here. Hope you had a good Monday. Get you off to a good start. I do want to thank Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, Dave Petzo for swinging in. Jeff Manasso with that incredible live report from Ferguson. Yes, I know he was in St. Louis, but really, when you're on location, what you do is you have a camp. And it's very rare that when you're, whether you're, again, embedded with the troops or what have you, that you're actually in that city. So what Jeff has done is he goes to St. Louis and then he goes out. He gathers information, talks to the newsmakers, and then heads back so we can have a place that has some reliability and certainly safety when it comes to reporting. So we do appreciate that. Just a few examples of what we're trying to do to continue to expand the listening audience. We know we've got to perform, and we know we need to give you that ROI. You've got a lot of choices in the morning. We appreciate you sticking with us or giving us a chance. We'll try again better tomorrow. God bless. Keep the faith.
Serving Emmett.